you would be enthusiastic about staying at your job if you were really happy. I think that's part of the problem, is that we keep doing the same thing.
Putting our teammates first, putting our team first as individuals, making sure that we show how caring we are as a group.
We've always had the philosophy that employees should be looking at the culture fit. And we as organizations should look at the culture fit as well.
For flexibility for someone's job, what you are actually saying is, I trust, I value you,
right,
not just as an employee at our company, but you also have value as an individual.
Welcome to The Human Factor, where we talk people, culture, and resources for humans.
From the days of leave your problems at the door, to remote work, to empathy and subcultures, Cole talks with Lisa Perez about her 30 years of HR experience.
Today, I'm joined by a friend of mine, Lisa Perez. Lisa owns and operates HBL Resources in Miramar, Florida. HBL Resources services include an array of services: HR consulting, training and development, executive coaching, complete manager makeover. Definitely interested to get into that. HR administration. And then, of course, Lisa, all the speaking that you do. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm super excited to be here and see you again after SHRM 21.
SHRM 21 was very interesting. It was in Las Vegas and is exactly where you and I met. A coworker and I were enjoying lunch at a table, and Lisa, you, and I think it was your sister, if I'm not mistaken, your husband was there. You had family working at the booth, and we really hit it off and had a really great rapport. And it was really interesting that every time I looked over, believe it or not, there are, you know, I think 300-400 vendors there, if I'm not mistaken, but it seems like consistently every single time I walk by, you guys had a line waiting to engage with you. I know that your book just launched last year. You've got a lot of cool things going on. Tell our listeners, if you don't mind, Lisa, at the end of that event, okay, so you've been in HR for a very long time. You've been a part of the association, SHRM, for a very long time. You walked away from that event. Tell me what some of those conversations were like with you and your family. How did you feel leaving there?
You know, SHRM 21 was a dream come true. And you're right, I've been in HR now 30 years. And it was really just one for the record books for me and my firm. My firm launched 10 years ago, will be 11 this August. And that had always been on my radar, right, to be able to feature my products and services there. And 10 and 11 years ago, I didn't know that it would morph into what it now is, you know, the complete manager makeover and that whole initiative. And as I was leaving after, you know, before even day one, we were all set up and I'm walking out with my family. And you're right, you know, this is we're living off this gig and hoping to grow it big. So everyone was there to help and support this initiative. I'm walking out, you know, sweating and all of that and looking at all of the big names up there, right? ADT is there, ADP is there, right. Paycor, all of the big payroll companies, Workfinga is there, right? On the down low. So it was really just an amazing moment where I realized, wow, you know, I've arrived, right? And I've got so much more to go, but that I'd arrive. I'm here with the major players at SHRM 21, right? The national stage, being able to launch my book, launch the curriculum of the complete manager makeover. And it was amazing. And the conversations were amazing throughout the entire event as we exhibited. Right. We were well received. It was a space and a conversation that everyone said, wow, we need that. Wow, we need that. And, you know, fast forward now, it's been, you know, quite a few months since then. And we're now starting to see the activity of those grassroots efforts really start to bubble up. And so I'm really hoping to make the impact that I hope to with this curriculum. So thanks for asking. It was amazing.
That's
amazing.
Really, really exciting. And so I picked up a copy of your book and Complete Manager Makeover. And I will tell you, there's some... I'm a big Audible person. I'm not a big sit down and turn the page person. And right. So when I open it, I skim. And so a couple of things really stood out to me that I want our listeners to know that you cover close to 200 pages in your book. You cover a lot of really, really great information. A couple of things that really stood out to me that exactly, if you're seeing this on the screen, definitely check that out. You can Google it and get it in most places. So definitely check that out. But you have a sheet on there, which I really like because it got me thinking, which are I've always joked as the marketing guy, whenever I'm in an HR conversation, it's like, oh, well, I'll ask the questions that you're not allowed to ask. I've said that for years. And it's so funny because you have a place in there that almost kind of quizzes your reader, right? What do you believe is truly a legal question to ask or not? And then, you draw people back to your website to get the answers to those questions. Right. I think that is so awesome. So definitely go and check that out. One thing that you wrote in the book, and like I said, in my skimming, it was right there in chapter two, but it really hit me head on, which is your title, because it aligns exactly with WorkZynga, which is interviews are not a one-way street. And so tell us a little bit about, a couple of minutes, if you don't mind, Lisa, about why that was chapter two for you. Why was that so important to put in the beginning of the book? And just at its basic core, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, thank you so much. You asked some great questions, and thank you for getting the book and supporting in that way. You know, I think I put that in there because it is. It is a two-way street. And I think that I've always believed that, you know, we as organizations have to set the stage for what our culture is and do that up front. Employees have not always had choices in terms of, you know, where they work. If you look at, you know, the baby boomer generation, they were one in, you know, 80 million, right? Somebody was going to get that job and it might not be you. But I've always had the philosophy that employees should be looking at the culture fit. And we as organizations should look at the culture fit as well. And if you treat that that potential employee by showing up late, not being prepared, answering your phone while the conversation is happening, that gives them a look at the culture of the organization. And where are they in terms of the priority you hold for them before they're even there, right? And so I think that it's important. So managers, leaders, people managers, right, really understand that people have choices, and now more than ever, we're starting to see that. That makes culture that much more important. And I think that's one of the reasons why we hit it off. We've got this alignment in the human nature and the human capacity and treating people like people and humans that we are, right? Because back in the day, it was leave your problems at the door. I never subscribed to that. I show up as the whole person that I am with my problems, with my challenges.
Right.
And I think employers should, you know that. But when it comes from the pre-employment, that's where you start to see culture so important.
It's so interesting that you say that's how we aligned. Alignment in this office that I'm sitting in right now at WorkZynga is one of the biggest keywords that we have. Using our culture fit assessment, we show alignment between companies and job seekers through our proprietary assessment. So we're very, very excited about that. And it's almost a little bit tongue-in-cheek for me because it sounds like it was seated in, but I'm using your words. We align because we see the human we see the human side of it. And that honestly, at our kind of debut, if you will, at the SHRM 2022 annual conference in New Orleans, that is the largest copy you're going to see when you walk up to our booth is get to the human factor. Because when you get away from all the stuff at the very end of the day, to your point, while that was a couple of decades ago acceptable to and be told, leave your problems at the door. When you hear you're working here, you know, take it home. Now we have to understand and it's there's no other way. It's in so many of our faces that there's an actual person on the other side of the table. We're more than hard skills, right?
Absolutely.
Lisa, how do you
and
feel?
I've always described that.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I've always prescribed to that. Even when they were saying it, I was like, I don't think this is the culture for me. I got to go.
Exactly. And I don't know. I know that you deal with an array of businesses in your world. I am interested to get your feedback, but I believe in my world that there are so many business owners and hiring managers still to this day, that are still wrapping their head around this thought process that I can kick the can, if you will. I can take my time on hiring. I'm not going to pay out my my referral bonuses the way I've always done it. If there's anything I've heard as a consistency through conferences and things, it is this overwhelming, loud common denominator, if you will, that it's time to make change. It's time to understand that we can't do things literally decades and decades as we have been doing them because we're not in that market anymore. And to your exact point, there aren't 80 million people looking for that one job. It's probably almost the invert, right? A lot of companies looking for, you know, good people.
Absolutely. You know, the millennial and now Gen Z, you know, population is going to be just as large. But they were making different decisions, right? No longer is it, oh, I want this long, lengthy career. I want to pay, you know, put my mark on it and what have you. They've got choices and they expect work-life integration. They expect that remote work that we have all come to see is really possible. And I mean, this isn't a new concept, right? I was writing teleworking policies, you know, 20 years ago. I know I'm aging myself right now, but that's the reality, right? We've finally woken up and realized, wow, I can be as productive, even more so with this new norm in the workforce, right? And while it's not for every organization or every position, it is achievable. It is attainable, and organizations need to realize that. And this is something that should have been happening a long time ago. You know, I continued to become frustrated, and part of the reason why the CMM, we call it for short, the Complete Manager Makeover, launched is because I've been tired of seeing the statistics not change.
Right.
Why do we still have 60% of employees, according to SHRM, still saying they're leaving because of the behavior of their manager? Listen, we still have to have the tough conversations. We've got to correct performance. We've got to improve, you know, training and development and retention. And sometimes we have to let people go, right? That's the reality of the business. But I believe it's how you have those conversations.
Right.
It's how you add, you know, the human element, the empathy, right? That goes a long, long way.
Yeah,
and in fact, in my, you know, it's important. It's a must.
Yeah, absolutely. And I apologize for interrupting. I know we're on a little bit of lag here, but I remember in our first conversation, I've seen it in your social. It's something as part of your brand, which to that point is talking about dignity. No matter what the conversation is, having dignity, you know, when you're walking out the door.
Absolutely. You have read my stuff. Yeah, I do believe that. And I've lived my HR career in that way, you know, ensuring that no matter how tough the conversation, the employee walks out of the office with their dignity intact. You know, I have had to navigate the layoff of over 200 people after 9/11 at the Fontainebleau, right? One of the hotels here at Miami Beach. And that was an enormous undertaking at a very young time in my career, early in my career as well. But I knew how I would have wanted to be treated on the other side, and I ensured that every manager had those conversations. And there's a great story about that. You know, it's just a great story. And I just, I believe it innately in my being, and I, am passionate about sharing that. You know, we still have to have those conversations. We can't stop business and, tiptoe around everything, but we can still be effective and as effective and even more effective with how we have those conversations.
So I have to ask you this question in context of today. Okay, Lisa, in that exact example, after 9/11, right? So we know that was a couple of decades ago. My question to you is, did you have to look at each of those people in their face?
So, you know, that organization had easily 1,200 employees, and there was no way for me to have 200 conversations in the span of 2 weeks all by myself. So I put a plan together that allowed our executive team, the senior leaders of the organization, to come together. And I literally trained every single one of them to say, this is what the conversation looks like. Here's what's in the information we're giving them.
Sure.
And we gave them, you know, information about other openings that we're still hiring for, because not all industries were affected, right? Travel, tourism, tanked. And that's where I was. But we gave them resources like that, Department of Labor links to apply for their unemployment benefits, COBRA information. I mean, you name it. They called it the I can't remember. They had a funny name for it at the end of it all. But, you know, to this day, there are more than a handful of people who remain in touch, who were part of that process.
Sure.
But because we ensured they walked out with dignity, right? Handled it correctly. Right. And in fact, the Department of Labor reached out and said, hey, we heard you've got this kit. We'd like it to use with other employers. Oh, and that, I still get chills, right? Because that made what I do in human resources impact not just my organization, but my community at large at the time. And I mean, that's, we forget that there's the resources part of human resources.
That's
we must need the answer to help employees and employers find the resources they need to, fill their needs.
It's interesting. Yeah. And I asked specifically because we have a pretty active Slack channel here at our company. And one of our team members shared today that I don't know the in and outs of the company, so I'm not even going to mention the company, but there was a large automotive company today that laid off 2,500 people over Zoom. And so while I don't know the inner workings of that, so I won't speak to it. It does speak to the difference of, and I'll say this out loud because I think this was very, very visual and public, if you will, but when Peloton, Peloton laid off a lot of people a few months ago, and I will tell you as someone that on the other side of that messaging, they were very quick. They set up websites. They set up every single person that they let go with opportunities to hire them. You know, it was very, to your point, they got ahead of it and said, you know, while this is not working right now for us, we want to make sure that you're successful and that you, to your point, have dignity walking out the door. So I've taken a lot of your time. I'm going to ask you two very specific questions.
I wanted to add something to that. So hold that, you know, because you raise an important point. You know, last year during our focus of National Management Training Week, third full week of August, Right Management came on. They were the last speaker of that week on Friday. And they talked about the importance of providing these outsourcing opportunities to our employees so that they do feel like they've got something next they can do as a result of the situation they've found themselves in. So kudos to Peloton and any organization who really cares that much to put that process in place.
Right. So. No, I appreciate that. You've been an HR professional, as we've said, over the last 30 years. What today, Lisa, when you're talking to your clients, when you're attending conferences, when you're receiving newsletters and in media conversations like this, what excites you about where HR is today?
HR or the workforce? Because I get excited about a lot of things. I love that in human resources, and I think one of the reasons I love it so much is that it's always changing. It's always changing and evolving. I have never been stagnant nor caught up in my location in 30 years because it keeps changing. And so now we get to navigate this new workforce, right? This global workforce that was already there, but now has expanded astronomically.
Sure.
The fact that now we get to create and figure out what is work from home look like and who buys this computer and who's paying for my internet and what happens if I slip and fall and I'm clocked in and I happen to be going to get my coffee, right? All of these things we're going to start to see emerge with, you know, litigation, legislation, regulation, and all of that, but also the voice of human resources through organizations like SHRM, right? And so I'm excited about that opportunity to see, you know, what's next in terms of the industry, the vocation, and the field. And then, of course, from the workforce perspective, you know, I was on a call 2 or 3 days ago with a colleague who is in an accounting firm, and it was just amazing to see, or, you know, when she came off mute, here's a little boy at the back. Mommy, and rushing to, you know, her lap and sitting on her lap. And guess what? She was still getting work done, right?
Yep.
And so what opportunities that provides for our workforce to really, for once, you know, I was never a work-life balance chick. I was more the integration, even though that term came so, you know, far later, that it is possible. And we've now seen that it is possible. That's so I'm really excited about that for the workforce.
It's interesting. I've heard you say in other settings, we used to call it telehealth. now it's remote work.
Teleworking. Yeah, please.
That's awesome.
You ain't got no lock on remote work. We had that back in the 80s.
That's right. Well, look, I'm going to wrap up here with one last question. We're going to ask all of our guests the same question because I'm going to splice all the answers together and let our audience hear all of the different answers because personally, I don't believe there is a true defined answer. So thanks again so much for spending some additional time with me, Lisa.
You're
How
welcome.
Do you define workplace culture?
For me, workplace culture, you know, it's the personality of the organization. You know, much to my, you know, example earlier, are you late to, you know, those interviews? Are you not giving someone your full attention, right? That is part of culture. So it's the personality of the organization that I think, you know, comes to play with. What are your values? What are your tenets, your mission, your vision? But does your organization live up to it, right? Because we put everything on the front page of the website and here's who we are and here's what we do, but do we really? Because right. There's always that sub-culture, right? It's the behaviors, the attitudes, the actions, the true day-to-day of the organization that I think encompasses workplace culture, starting with what are those values? How do you treat people? How do you say you treat people and do you really do it? Do you deliver on what you say? You know what I mean? So to me, culture is that, because then there's always that subculture if you don't get culture right.
That's exactly right. And if you're listening and you don't know what the subculture is, you might have a subculture problem.
Exactly.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please hit the subscribe button to the podcast. It helps us reach so many people. Thank you so much. Yeah. If you have 45 seconds, I've timed it. That's about what it takes. Please go on to where you listen to podcasts and leave us a comment. It really, really does help us. Thanks for listening to The Human Factor. If you're looking for Lisa Perez, if you're looking for The Complete Manager Makeover, you want to grab her book, you want to hit her up for some keynote speaking, or you're looking in the mirror going, maybe I'm a bad manager and it's time to have a realization, definitely reach out to Lisa. All of her contact information, all of her links are in the show notes below. Again, thank you very much, Lisa, and I will see you soon.
My pleasure. It's been a pleasure. Hope to see you soon, Cole.
You too. Thank you.